Welcome to another powerful word from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3 today. We're going to look at King Solomon, the wisest man who God said would ever live. We're going to look at King Solomon and what he had to say to a young group of people. Let me give you a teaser for the second service today. You know, I know for certain, and you should know for certain, that you are in the last days. How can I know that you are in the last days? Well, it's because you are in your last days. In fact, you are in your only days. Okay? Without respect as to whether Jesus comes for everybody or not, he's coming for you, Coach, in your lifetime. Okay? And we are, me and you, we are in our last days. Of course, you know, we're not getting much older, but we are in our last days. We don't get to decide when our last days are. We don't get to decide that. What we do get to decide is when our best days are. Okay? So there's a teaser for the next service, and we'll be talking a little bit prophetically in the next service. Today, let me prepare us out of Proverbs 3 and set the stage, because this is where King Solomon decided he wanted to invest in this next generation, in this young generation that was up and coming. You see, it's very important to have what I call a first-generation experience with God. We see from the Bible, historically, that King David had a first-generation experience with God. He had a first-generation relationship with God. That means that David knew God personally. It was a personal thing with him. He was connected to God. He served God because it was a personal conviction. He was not taught this. He was not left this. He did not inherit it. You know, he was literally a young shepherd boy out in the fields, and he was not even invited to the party. He was forgotten. He was left alone. His dad and his brothers did not think very much of him. They did not think he was able. They did not think he was capable. He was off in obscurity. And from that place of obscurity, from the place of being hidden in life, no one knowing what was on the inside of him, no one knowing his capabilities, no one knowing how committed he was, he came from there to become king of all of Israel, winning war after war, victory after victory. And he did that because he had a personal relationship with Almighty God. It was a personal conviction that he did not inherit. He did not see modeled in front of him. He did not grow up in it. He grew himself into a personal relationship, what I call a first generation experience with God, a first generation relationship. Then he had a son, his son Solomon. Solomon was blessed by God to be the wisest man. What does that mean? That means that God gave Solomon the ability to discern. God gave Solomon the ability to observe. And when Solomon observed the ants, or whenever he observed flowers, he drew conclusions that were infused by the Spirit of God. He drew conclusions through the gift, through the filter of the gift of wisdom that God gave him, that was in such abundance that no man ever gleaned as much wisdom and garnered as much wisdom as Solomon. God did not just drop a bucket of wisdom on Solomon. He dropped a bucket of ability to observe and discern and to see the truth. It's almost as if Solomon had the Holy Spirit. You know, all of a sudden, everything made sense to him. I mean, read the book of Proverbs. He can tell you what he saw, what he observed, and how truth was observable. And he was able to verbalize the truths of God in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. And so, yet Solomon, in all of his wisdom, Solomon did not possess a first generation experience with God. He had a second generation experience. He inherited everything he got. And as a result of that second generation, as a result of him serving the God of his fathers, he also served the God of his wives. You know, there were just short of 1,000 women in his life. And they were from many other countries. Many of his wives, 300, were wives that came along with peace treaties with other nations and other leaders. And they had their own strange gods, and they brought those gods into the home. So that Solomon built, not only did Solomon build the temple for Jehovah on Mount Moriah, he also built the temple of Chemosh on Mount Olives, Mount of Olives. He built temples to all the foreign gods of his foreign wives. Wow. That's what you can get with a second generation relationship with God. That's what you can get whenever mama was a Christian, daddy was a Christian, whenever they took us to church, whenever, yeah, I go to church every now and then, but I also go to the bar. Also go to the other church. I also go, you know the mixed up things that people have because they were raised in church without a primary relationship. Without that, I had to dig out my relationship with God out of the sand, and I had to make it happen. You can't just give your children salvation. You can't just give someone else a relationship. We must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You know how many times I ask my children as they were growing up, are you saved? No, not do you know Jesus, not do you know about him, not do you like church, not can you tell me the Bible stories, not can you sing the songs, not are you a good person, but are you born again? April, there's my daughter back there. How many times did I ask you? I was afraid of a second generation relationship that my children might have that might not last them through the war for their souls and their minds. Everyone deserves a first generation relationship, because here we have Solomon, here we have David worshiping only God. Solomon worshiped God, and also, you know, he built other temples and went to the temple with his wives and their temples and worshiped other gods. And yet he was the wisest man in the world. Yeah, he should have observed that one, you know. But then he raised, you know, his children, the next guy that became king, you know, Rehoboam. He lost the whole kingdom. He lost it all. Why? Because he had a third generation relationship. He was one of those kids that went with daddy to church and went with mama to church, and they went to two different places and worshiped two different gods and grew up super confused that all ways lead to heaven. And there arose a generation, the Bible says, that knew not their God. They knew the songs. They knew what to do whenever they went to daddy's church. But they also knew what to do when they went to mama's church. And living in a divided home. You know how many people live in a home where daddy's a Christian and mama's not, or mama's a Christian and daddy's not, or one of them lives like it and the other one doesn't. And you know how many homes children are raised in and they look back and they're confused, or else they just feel like, hey, it's all the same. The nation of Israel ceased to exist as a whole nation by the third generation. Wow. Now, Solomon was wise, but I'm going to tell you he was the Elmer Fudd of the Bible. You know who Elmer Fudd is? He's the guy that chased Bugs Bunny around everywhere. And he could never catch him. He was, doo-doop, 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 doo-doop. He was so wise. He could observe. He knew so much. He was so wise. Let me tell you, he was so smart, he was smarter than God. A lot of people are. They are so smart. They know so much, they believe they can make it without him. It's crazy. Well, but he did observe truth and he wrote truth. You know, you can tell other people, you can write things that you're not doing. And if you just take your own advice, most of you would be a whole lot better. If you just do what you would tell other people to do if they were doing what you're doing. Yeah. Some of my businesses, the best I've ever done is just sit down and wonder what I would do if somebody else owned that business. Tell them what to do and do it myself. Okay. So let's read here in Psalms 3. We're going to just go through the first 10 verses. He's encouraging the young people here. He knows what to do, he says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Man, they sure will. Just living right, living the truth. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Listen, if you really want some good advice this morning, don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Do you want favor with God and man? Be a merciful person. Be a gracious person. Show some mercy. You'll get favor and exaltation, you'll get promotion in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, verse 5 is one of our favorite verses. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, trusting in God. How you know you're trusting in God is when you're not trusting in something else. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't think you're so smart that you know more than God. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Let's just read a little more. Why not? My son, do not despise the chastening, the correction of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Well, I will leave you to read the rest of Proverbs chapter 3, and let's just make some mental notes here along the way. It's, in the end, it's more important, as Solomon would write, to have a little bit and be happy than to have a lot and live in turmoil. It's better, Solomon would write, to make sure that you're pleasing the Lord than it is to please people. And so what he encourages the young men and young women around him to do is to make sure that they do not let mercy or truth get away from them. You can seek the truth and still be merciful, even when the truth perhaps makes us feel like we just want to quit sometime. But the truth does not have to be mean and ugly. The truth does not have to be harsh. We don't have to be loud in order to share the truth. We should do it with a merciful heart. And our trust should be in the Lord. In today's America, we cannot imagine that our trust could be in a political party or in a candidate. We do believe that God has a will. I'm only hoping that His will is not to give us what we deserve. I'm hoping His will is to give us another shot at this and help us and bless us. But that's in God's hands. And we're going to trust in the Lord and lean not to our own understanding. Every time that you mistake opinion for the will of God, you're going to find yourself trying to make yourself believe that you're God. Don't mistake opinion for God's will. Don't mistake opinion for truth or for fact. Today, if you knew who the Antichrist was, and you decided you were going to help God out by killing him, God would have to stop you. Because God says this, the Antichrist must come. Isn't that an interesting paradox? Let me ask you, who was it that wanted Jesus to go to the cross? God and the devil. Well, that's an interesting paradox. Sometimes the things that God wants to lead us to or lead us through seem so foreign to us. But if you find yourself in a situation that's difficult, don't trust in your own ideologies. Don't trust in your own ability to deliver yourself. Don't trust in anything else but trusting in the Lord. And we can know when we trust in the Lord is when we throw up our hands and say whatever. That's what Jesus did. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, do you think he wanted to go to the cross? No, he did not. Do you think it was going to hurt? Yes. Do you think that he felt like it would disappoint and confuse a lot of people if he were to die? Sure, he knew that. But he was not looking for any other factor in life except, Lord, I trust in you. And not what I will, not what I'm willing to let happen, not what I'm willing to go through, not what I will, but what you will, Lord. And God always has a best. You see, not only did he take Jesus through that moment, but Jesus is seated at his right hand today. You see, it's not over in a way that we imagine. It's not over when we think it's over. God knew that the disciples would think it was over, but it wasn't. When we trust God and acknowledge Him in all of our ways, when we lean not to our own understanding, when we stop with trying to convince ourselves and others with our own ideologies, with our own opinions, whenever we stop feeling as though that our opinion is the only thing that is right, then we are beginning to put God in the leadership of our lives. In all our ways, acknowledge Him and trust in Him. He will direct your path. If you will trust in Him, trust in Him. Do not be wise, verse 7 continued. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you have it figured out. You have to tell yourself, if Solomon would have just taken his own advice and said to himself, I've got to try to quit trying to figure this out and just go with what God said. God said, don't make any graven images. I've got to stop trying to make it better for God. And I've just got to let God have it. Here, God, just like Jesus did. Jesus could not make it better for God. All he could do was submit and trust. Just trust in the Lord. Depart from evil. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with your substance. Solomon is telling these young people, if you want to get your life in order, honor the Lord with what you have, with the first fruits of your increase. Make sure that you honor the Lord so that you can let the Lord know that you understand these are blessings. What you give me and what I have is a blessing from you. I want to include you in my blessing. I want to acknowledge you. I want to partner with you. You have blessed me, not the works of my hands. You. I could sow seeds all day long and never get a harvest if you did not provide the rain. If you did not touch the nutrients and all of the physics that you put in place, God. Honor the Lord with your substance. Yeah, he'll fill your barns up, Solomon said. He'll fill your barns. And do not despise. Don't feel it's unfair when the Lord says, don't do that. When the Lord chastens or corrects us. That's fair. It's fair when the Lord brings some correction to us. Because those whom he loves, he corrects. He corrects those he loves. Don't feel it's unfair to be corrected in life. If you're at the place in life where you cannot be told no or don't, then you're without correction. It's as the word says, God corrects every son in whom he delights.
Thanks again for joining us for another dynamic message from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.